Driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go!
Hello and welcome into the game. I'm Tyler Dreiling, joined by Mitch Fortner this afternoon. John Kurtz on his way to Junction City High School for Manhattan High basketball tonight, the second meeting between the bitter rivals Manhattan and Junction City, both the boys and the girls in action tonight, starting around 6 o'clock. You can hear that here on News Radio KMAN. Today on the show, K-State holds serve down in Austin on Saturday and sets up its biggest game for the rest of the season, at least the rest of the regular season, coming up on Wednesday or coming up tomorrow against Oklahoma State. We'll have a special announcement about a very interesting and very cool interview that you're going to be able to hear tomorrow on the show and during Powercat game day before K-State plays Oklahoma State. Some respect for K-State football going into 2017 from ESPN. We'll also be joined by Cole Manbeck, our Powercat game day blogger, and we'll go around college basketball. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350 is our telephone number. Mitch.
Is there a reason you're wearing a Chiefs shirt today?
No reason in particular.
Well, I ask because it's long sleeve and it's beautiful outside.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm in that mode where I'm not doing a whole lot of short sleeve shirts when I'm doing laundry because I haven't had a chance to wear very many. And so it's just not, I don't have short sleeve shirts in my rotation right
See,
now.
Okay, so I'll be doing the PA announcing for women's basketball tonight. Mm-hmm. Now, the Big 12 every year gives the table crew brand new Big 12 polos. Well, this year's are long sleeve and they're black.
Interesting.
So I wear them to work when there's a midweek game, and I'm sure they weren't expecting those folks down in Texas a 70-degree day in Kansas in February. Oh, so thanks, Big 12, for making me wear a long-sleeve shirt.
Woe
today.
Is you getting to do PA for a top 25 women's.
Well, unfortunately, K-State's not top 25 anymore.
They're close.
27,
enough.
So we'll call it a top 27 matchup. But still, I mean, K-State. Not to get too much into this right now, but so we talked a lot about it yesterday and how big this matchup is with Oklahoma. And I'm telling you, to me. This could make K-State's season a lot better than what they're really feeling right now. I mean, right now, they're in the NCAA tournament. There's no doubt they're going to get in this year. But they still want that chance to host.
Yeah.
They got to win tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good one tonight at Bramlage Coliseum. You can hear that here on News Radio KMAN. I should have mentioned MHS basketball on NewsRadioKMAN.com. We'll also mention K-State baseball. How about the K-State baseball team and their opening weekend down in Florida? John didn't come back with as much of a tan as I expected from Kissimmee, Florida, but K-State goes 3-1 down there, and so we will recap that for you as well. To start the show, K-State basketball beats Texas over the weekend in Austin 64-61. How the tables have turned as K-State basketball is a team that has five road wins, and it's at home that they're really struggling. How about this for a stat? Mitch, can you tell me off the top of your head the last time K-State won a home basketball game?
The last time K-State won a home basketball game?
The last K-State home win. It's tough. It's harder than you would expect.
Oklahoma.
It was West Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
It was West Virginia, and it was 1 month ago today. 1 month ago today was K-State's last win at home, but during that stretch, they have beaten Baylor on the road, and they've beaten Texas on the road. And, of course, they have that win on the road against Oklahoma State as well. So they have found a way to win some road games. Not, of course, in the case of this weekend, it wasn't against that formidable of a team in the Texas Longhorns, who are now 10-17 and 4-10. But at least it's something, and K-State had to go into an empty arena, create their own energy. They didn't play all that great. They had 10 assists in the game to 13 turnovers. You know, the ball movement wasn't great. They did get solid performances out of Wesley Wundu, who had 16.7 rebounds. Barry Brown had his second straight solid game after that extended drought that he was in. He had 15 points. Kamau Stokes had 14 points as well, and those all countered a little bit of an off night from Dean Wade, who only had 4 points and 1 rebound in the game. DJ Johnson continuing to come back from His ankle injury was better, 9 points, 2 rebounds in this one. And then, of course, the biggest basket, his putback and one with 1.6 seconds to go, saved K-State from going to overtime in that game. And I really don't know how that would have panned out, considering K-State had the lead for the majority of the contest, had led by 9 at one point in the second half. If that goes to overtime, I'm not sure who wins it. It's not a win that does much for you, if anything, as far as the computers are concerned and the RPI. K-State really just sat in the same spot it was in, but it's one of those that you can say that that's significant, because if you lose that, you probably drop about 15 spots in the RPI, and at that point you would be in pretty terrible shape as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned. It would still be within reach, but it would take an awful lot. And again, as we've talked about over the course of the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, you just wonder how much K-State would have left if they dropped a game like that against Texas, physically and mentally, now going or getting ready to go up against Oklahoma State, who's the best team that K-State will face through the course of the rest of the regular season. And we'll have a lot more on Oklahoma State before that game tips off at 8 o'clock tomorrow night at Bramlage Coliseum. We'll be talking about it all through tomorrow's show and Power Cat game day as well. But, Mitch, from this game against Texas, not a whole lot you can take away from it. Actually, let me back up a little bit and phrase it this way. When K-State lost last week to Iowa State at home, what I said was, well, the result is maybe slightly forgivable, but it's the way that K-State came out of the gate that was the big takeaway. In this case, it's reversed. It really doesn't matter how K-State ended up with a 64-61 win. All that matters is that it's not a loss. They got that W, and they keep their head above water as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned.
Well, that's how I feel. We should not expect K-State to blow anybody out.
Probably not.
For the rest of the year. I don't care how bad their opponent is. I don't care if they're going to Oklahoma here in, what, a week and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect them to blow them out. I'm just saying, because even though Oklahoma is the worst team in the Big 12 as of right now, at this point, if you're a K-State fan, just want them to win the game. Don't get mad. Don't get all on social media saying fire Bruce Weber because we didn't beat Oklahoma or Texas by 17 points.
Yeah, that's not the way to look
at
it.
That is not
right
a good argument because it's still the Big 12. I don't care how good you are. I mean,
well, and it's on the road. I mean, that's the big thing.
Well, of course.
If you're beating Texas and Oklahoma by that thin of a margin at home, maybe that's a little bit different. K-State did only beat Texas by 5 earlier this year, but it was a game that K-State led by double digits up until the final minute. They beat Oklahoma by at least a considerable margin. So it's just a little bit different being on the road. And again, especially for K-State, because the biggest gripe has always been what? Well, Bruce Weber can't win on the road. Well, it may be against the RPI 160 team, but beggars can't be choosers. I've said this before. Don't let the fact that you're starving let you mistake ramen for a Thanksgiving dinner. It may not be a Thanksgiving dinner, but you gotta accept it for what it is.
It's not like K-State has been beating the crap out of teams all year. I mean, there's been a lot of grinded out games this year, even in the non-con. They've been some close ones as well. Maybe some teams that were you feel like on paper, oh, it's Omaha, we should beat them by 35. I mean, that's just the way K-State is, man. That's just how we got to deal with it this year, and it hasn't changed all year. There really hasn't been a change of pace when it comes to, who's the star player. Who's having the hot night? Barry Brown kind of took some, I like to call it, he took some time off. He didn't have a great stretch. And then, and I'll tell you what, that actually, I'm going to go on a completely different route here, but Kamal Stokes, to me, I mean, he has felt like the player of the year.
You can make that case.
17 consecutive games in double figures.
For a team that struggles mightily with consistency, that is a very, very solid stretch for Kamal Stokes.
And where K-State has had issues with depth this year, I mean, I'm not saying you got to be happy with the results, but when K-State can go on the road anywhere and pull out a victory, especially with a team that has somebody who is possibly a maybe not a lottery pick in the NBA draft, but somebody who is very talented and had the dunk of the year last night at West Virginia.
That is true.
I mean, you got to take your wins where you get them.
Yeah. You know, K-State is not – I would say that right now they are sitting on the right side of the bubble. They can go a long way towards securing that spot if they're able to win tomorrow night against an RPI top 30 team in Oklahoma State. But the way that I look at it as far as their postseason hopes hasn't really changed. They're 17-10 right now. I think you need three more wins, and it doesn't really matter where those wins come from. They can be regular season. They can be Big 12 tournament, whatever. If you go you know, 6-8 right now in the league, so if you go 3-1 over your last four, you sit there at 9-9, I think you're in very fine shape. If you go 8-10 in the league, then I think that you need to pick up an extra win in the Big 12 tournament, and then you would be in pretty good shape. Either way, I think K-State's probably three wins away, and you've got to take advantage coming back home tomorrow night against a very solid team.
And another thing I look at with K-State's chances for the NCAA tournament, what would help out, I think, greatly is if K-State can stay out of day one of the Big 12 tournament.
Yes, that would be nice. It would be nice assuming that they get to 9-9 so that they wouldn't have to suffer a bad loss. If you're 8-10 and you need a win in the Big 12 tournament, it would be probably better to face a lesser team in that day one and then take a loss the next day. I don't know. It can kind of get weird with how all of those situations shake out. But I see what you're saying there, and I mean, I think that a lot of K-State fans just feel like they've been playing on day one of the Big 12 tournament too often of late, and it would be really nice for them to not be in that position. But we'll have to see. They have to finish sixth or better to avoid that spot. And so we know that Oklahoma and Texas are probably going to be in the 9 and 10 spots respectively. Then you've got Texas Tech and TCU that are kind of those other teams that you're competing against. Texas Tech lost last night to fall to 5-10 in the Big 12.
And, I mean, Oklahoma State is another one of those teams that have battled back from being a bottom-tier team to, you know, being in the middle of the pack now. They're receiving votes in the AP and coaches poll right now.
Oklahoma State is a fascinating team. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night's game because I think that you can make the case that it is the most intriguing game that K-State has played this season, and that includes the KU games, both of them.
I think fans have been waiting for this one.
I don't know, and we're going to talk about this in way more detail tomorrow with John. I don't know what the reception's going to be like. I want K-State fans to make Brad Underwood feel welcome without making the situation unnecessarily awkward, if that makes sense. I don't want it to be all about welcoming Brad Underwood and not welcoming Brad Underwood at the expense of putting down the current coach that K-State has. But we can talk about that a lot more tomorrow as we get closer to tip-off with K-State and Oklahoma State. At 5:10, going to make an announcement as far as a very special guest that we are going to have on tomorrow's show and on PowerCat Game Day. When we come back after last night's action in the Big 12, the Big 12 bubble is actually in more of a stable place than it's been all season. The Big 12 bubble is pretty much down to two teams. We'll talk about that coming up next on The Game.